Any gospel that ends with "there will be wailing and grinding of teeth" sure sets the tone, doesn't it? Obviously, this is a parable about stewardship and being in the Diocese of Wichita. And here at Christ the King, we all know very well what stewardship is. But one thing that you may not know is that in this context of Matthew 24 and 25, where we're at in Matthew right now, Jesus is giving these parables and giving these stories actually as analogies for the end times. He's talking about the second coming. And in today's parable, he's specifically drawing a link between how we practice stewardship in this life and how we receive the reward of eternal life. He's saying what we do here matters for there. And I'd like to share with you today, hopefully this is easy to remember when you go home, three R's in our gospel today. Reception of a gift, response to that gift, and the reward or punishment depending on how that gift is used. Receive, respond, reward. What is a talent? Well, in English, we know that it's something, an ability to do something. And it's actually kind of a happy coincidence that in its original meaning, it meant both. Something you had the ability to do, but obviously in today's gospel, a certain amount of money. In fact, it was considered a very large amount of money. So if you want, the first guy gets about $5,000, the second guy $2,000, the third guy $1,000. A good amount of money. This is also, though, the Greek word that we get the idea or the word gift from. Or another meaning is special aptitude. So if you have a talent, you have a special aptitude or a gift for something. Now, the first thing to note is that God gives according to one's ability. There's a real popular notion, I think, in our culture and in our country today that everybody should be equal. God didn't make us equal. God made men and women differently and gifted differently according to their gender, according to their upbringing, according to how smart you are or not so smart, or smart in one area, not another. God gives gifts differently, and that's okay. It's what makes us great. It's what makes a community like this so beautiful. So both the guys who receive five, and the guy receives two, and the guy who received one, you could honestly say that they all received the maximum amount for them. God gives according to our abilities, however. Satan loves to convince you that you don't have any abilities. Why? Because he doesn't want you serving his church, and he wants you to feel like you are not a child of God. Those are two aims that Satan has. And so he's going to always try to make you feel like you don't have any abilities. But remember, what does Genesis tell you? You are created in the image and likeness of God. So tell me, what kind of abilities do you have if you are a son or daughter of God, the Almighty? If you are created in His image and likeness, and you are destined to not only be in heaven with Him, but actually share His eternal glory and be kings and queens in His kingdom. Tell me what kind of abilities you have now. You see, guys, how God grades us, if you will, is not so much what gifts you have, but how you use them. Notice also that the first servant, when he got his five talents, and this is the only servant that they say this about, it says that he responded immediately. That must also be our response. It's the person who steps up and shows initiative. And have you ever noticed that the person who steps up and shows initiative is the guy who gets called again? And then we end up, if we're the guy who never gets called, we end up saying, well, they always call that guy over there. They never call me. We have this tendency in our culture to say, oh, poor me, it's unfair. Maybe it's because that guy's showing initiative, and I'm not. Maybe I'm not responding immediately to a need, whether it be in the church or at work or at home. Kids, when your parents say, "I need your help," and you start walking one way and your eyes go towards the game, and you're split into two, it's an immediate response to our parents, to God, to our church. Many of us spend our lives thinking that somebody else is getting favoritism and somehow we're getting mistreated. And that sometimes does happen. But I find that most of the time, it's us not taking the initiative. And we see this reflected in the next R, the response of the servants. Look at how the servants handled or responded with what they were given. This lesson can be applied to every area of our life. It says that they were given a little, and what they did with it determined what they were given as a reward later, right? What we do in little things is a lesson that can affect every area of our life. For instance, spiritual matters. Is God going to particularly gift you with a good prayer life if you don't even pray 10 minutes a day? You think He's going to give you just wonderful and inspiring insights into His deity when you can't find time to spend with Him? Do you think you're going to feel particularly close and loved by God if you won't spend time with Him? How close would you feel to your spouse if you only talk to them 10 minutes a week? If you are faithful in small matters, in your prayer, in your spiritual life, God will gift you with even greater things. This is also true in what I would call human virtues. I think there's a tendency in the church right now to think that being a Christian and being a follower of God means I do something spiritual. Well, yeah, that's true. But remember, God made the whole person. Your body and your soul. He gave you your intellect and your will. You're an integrated person, and God created all of it. And the tendency to set our spirituality over here and think that nothing else in our lives has to do with God, such as our physical condition or our money or even just things like discipline and how we eat or drink, being on time to things, speaking in complete sentences, paying attention. I mean, regular human virtues actually contribute to our spirituality, to our growth with God. Why, if we can't be responsible in little things, how are we going to get to the big ones? If we can't even listen, we can't come to Mass and pay attention for an hour, how are we going to grow beyond that? Now, responding is ultimately a test. That's exactly what it was in the gospel tonight. And remember, Jesus is telling this parable as an analogy for the end times and for judgment. So what he's saying is this life and our stewardship of this life determines what the reward will be in the next. And so we come to our third R, the reward. There's a very popular notion in our culture in these times to think that you can go to heaven simply for being a nice guy or gal. The church reminds us that we must be saints to go to heaven. And who is called to be a saint? Absolutely every single one of you here. And who is God giving the ability to become a saint to? Absolutely everyone here. We also sometimes get this notion that God's up in heaven keeping score, and that somehow if we do more good things than we do bad things, then it's going to tip the scales. I mean, what will your judgment be like? We all have a different idea in our head, don't we? What it's going to be like when I die and I stand before Jesus and I'm judged, whether I'm worthy of heaven or hell. And yet, today's parable, Jesus specifically, remember, he's talking about the end times. He specifically paints a picture. What does the master do? He comes back from a long trip and he asks for an accounting of their stewardship. What did you do with what I gave you? Honestly, I think that's exactly what Jesus is going to ask me when I stand before him in judgment. What did you do with your body, with your soul, with the people around you, with the talents I gave you, with the money I gave you? What did you do at the time I gave you? We get this picture in our head because we don't like to think about it, of a real nicey-nicey Jesus, right? Oh yeah, come on in, guys. All are welcome. And there's a lot of truth to that. God is loving. He is merciful. But he very clearly states in the gospel today too that there is a time for judgment. And what does he call this last servant who doesn't use his gifts? He says, you are wicked and lazy, and then throws him out where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. And if you read your scriptures, you know that wailing and grinding of teeth is a kind of name for hell, a symbol of hell. You see, the Christian life doesn't boil down to whether you've done more good than bad. It doesn't boil down to if you're a nice person or not. It doesn't even boil down to whether you went to church every Sunday. Yes, all those things contribute, but in the end, what did you do with what God gave you? In our second reading today, Paul says that Jesus is going to come suddenly. I mean, what if he walked through the doors right now and in a big booming voice said, okay guys, time's up. Would you be ready? Would you be ready right now to be judged? Now for some of us, that's kind of a scary thought, right? But you know, as Christians, Jesus wants us to grow in assurance and confidence in our salvation. He doesn't want us to be scared. And how can we do that? How can we be more confident of our salvation? By being good stewards. By every day saying, God, what have you given me? You've given me 24 hours today. You've given me an income. You've given me life and health. How am I going to use that for you? Receive. Respond. Reward.